Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Jeremy Shaw is alongside me here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. And just a quick reminder for those of you here at the circuit, the race for IMSA on Saturday will be on Sirius XM 206 and on FM WWOJ, Highland's best country music station, will be us for the whole of the 12 hours. 99.1 FM is where you'll find that. And on News Talk 7:30, and then all new FM frequency as well, 95.3. So that's how you can get the full coverage of the weekend. Right, Jeremy. First session, pretty decent. Just one issue for the Winward car. Two issues, yes.
Red flag earlier on, I can't remember what it was now. Somebody was off the road, I think, but nothing too dramatic. And then, yeah, the Winward car off the road at turn three caused some damage there. Hopefully that car's been repaired again and we can hear from the pit lane whether that car's going to be out for this second session.
Well, I wanted to give you guys an update right off the bat on the car that caused the red flag during the practice session. That was Winward Racing, and their Mercedes came all the way down to their pit box. And that's the sound of silence because there's no one here to interview. All the other cars are on the pit lane. This is the session where it's a little bit wonky. GTD, LMP3, and LMP2 can go out on track with their non-pro drivers to kick things off. But Winward should be here. There's only one guy who's here. They are going to be here for night practice. Yep, got the thumbs up on that. So that's the good news. But clearly the damage to the car taking a little bit longer, and they're not going to be able to make it out for this session.
So what about the I mean, they didn't hit the wall that hard. So was there some other damage that took him into the wall, Shay?
Well, hang on a second. I'm going to pull a Joe Bradley here. Hello, what's your name? You don't have to freeze up on me.
Chris.
Hey, Chris. All right, you're with Winward. Minor body damage that you just need. Takes more time to work on than the time you had. Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you. So that has brought us up to date with that, Shay. Thank you very much indeed. The split session, as Shay mentioned, the green flag has just gone out. And I see already cars moving towards the end of the pit lane. Jeremy.
Yeah, various penalties already. The session hasn't started yet.
Dear.
But car number seven, that is the 47 Motorsports LMP3 car, a Ducane, that will have a penalty of 5-minute hold at the start of the session for taking a checkered flag twice, i.e. not seeing it first time around. So that's the penalty for that car. Also, a 5-minute hold at the start of this session for car numbers 21, 23, 27 and 59. I think they're all GTD cars. You have to hand in the data stick for after each session to the IMSA technical team so they can download all the data from the car during the session. There's a time limit to do that. They failed to meet that limit. And so because of that, there's a 5-minute hold to the start of this session, so they won't be able to go out for the first 5 minutes. Also, a penalty for car number 32 for leaving the pit box early in this session as well. So car number 32 is the Gilbert Courthoff Motorsports Mercedes. So that'll have a drive-through penalty. It's left the pits already too soon, and we'll have to come in and serve a drive-through before he can begin his session. So the session is underway. Once again, as this morning, it's an hour and a half, but this is a session whereby in the first 15 minutes, we'll see only the Pro-Am teams out there. So LMP2, LMP3 and GTD are allowed out there for the first 15 minutes. For the final 15 minutes of the session, it's only the Pro classes that can go out,
and that always slightly puts me off a little bit because I can't remember which way round it's meant to be. So we'll get the middle part of the session is the all skate, is basically
everybody's out there for the middle hour basically.
Yes, correct. Yeah. I do like the ideas of giving some of the less experienced drivers some time on their own. Obviously, they have to learn to have cars around them as well, but there's a confidence building thing here, and I do think that works. It's something that IMSA brought in a few years ago. Somebody who doesn't need any extra in terms of confidence building is Colin Brown, who's with Shea Adam down in the pit lane.
Colin, wanted to talk to you after the end of that first session because the 54 and 4 Autosport car was top of the charts right where you left it 12 months ago. How nice is it to come back to Sebring as the defending race winner?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I mean, obviously we had a great race here last year, and, you know, to start off in that first practice and be quick was good. I mean, I was really surprised, actually. We did a couple laps bedding the brakes in. I did one time lap, and that was it, and then I got out. So I was surprised that time held. But we had a good test here, and, you know, feel good about our car. I mean, you know, just got to get John and George some laps, get those guys comfortable, and then, you know, obviously a long race where who knows what's going to happen, but keep ourselves in it until the end at least.
How much has the car changed since last year's race?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, last year, you know, for us, we went to Daytona with a brand new car, and then we came here, and this track is a normal kind of track, I would say, compared to like Daytona. So we were pretty new and pretty raw at you know, just the whole setup package. So certainly over the whole course of last year and all the testing, we developed the setup quite a lot, came back here, and we're pretty happy. And so you know, changed quite a bit from last year, but you know, the result still seems to be good for the minute, so hopefully it stays there.
Looking at the schedule going forward this year, you've got quite a bit of driving coming up and still with George. So it's going to be exciting when you get him in the car for these weekends.
Yeah, it's great. You know, George did a really nice job last year, his first year in IMSA competition. So, you know, for him coming back to all these tracks a second time, he's so much more comfortable with all the little details, the procedures, how the yellow flags work, how the traffic works. So, you know, we saw his pace way, strong in Daytona, and it'll be the same thing here, just that, you know, comfort with coming back for year two. So did a great job this last year, and he'll do an even better job this year.
We know that John is great in a Ligier and an Orica, it doesn't matter what it is, prototypes suit him well, but how long does it take for you and George in particular to bounce back and forth between a GT car and the LMP3?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, the P3 Ligier, as we see, right, is very similar pace to the GT3 cars at a lot of tracks. So it's funny how similar the Mercedes is what we race, how similar that feels and drives even to the Ligier. You know, the P3 car has a bit more downforce, but you don't really feel so different really between the cars, and the overall lap time is so similar. So that's been a nice thing for both George and I, jumping back and forth. It's not like you're jumping from, you know, an LMP2 car back to a GT3 car. So it's been pretty good.
Colin, good luck in the race and enjoy your day off tomorrow.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Good to hear him in the IMSA paddock again. I mean, just insanely fast driver. And I was rather surprised that he didn't get picked up by a manufacturer team, but he very nearly won the championship, didn't he, a few years ago with John. In fact, that was the year that the LMP2 nearly won the championship, and it led to the rebalancing of performance and the slowing down of the LMP2s in the, it was 2018, believe it or not now, and the LMP2s taken out of contention for overall victories. This morning we had the BMW fastest in GTD Pro, number 24 car. Turner car getting up to speed in GTD. In liquid moly colours, the 96 this weekend. It's the red, white and blue colours. And just a note coming in overnight, that's the Bathurst liquid moly 12 hours. Will start at its earliest time ever, 5:15 in the morning for that.
That's a great idea.
It's the first time they've run it without daylight savings time, Jeremy. It normally starts at a quarter to six in the dark and runs till a quarter to six, obviously, in the evening. And you've got 15 minutes to do your wrap-up before the evening news comes on because it's on national network television. But because sunset is a little bit earlier, they wanted to run slightly less of the end of the race in full darkness. A little bit of gloaming's fine for the television. But so they've moved up the start to 5:15 with... from memory, and this is from many, I apologise, Richard Creel, but I think sunup is 6:30, so you'll have a full hour in the darkness, and for the first time I think there's going to be some darkness practice as well, particularly aimed at the AM drivers. And they're getting a lucky dog wave by rule this year as well in that event, added in for the first time. Going to be a bit more of a national event this year with the obvious issues of travel, but still worth putting in your diary. 13th to the 15th of May, I think it is, from memory. Huge amount of motorsport that weekend. We'll give you details of coverage on the RSL network once we have them. So, at the top of the shop, Jonathan Bomarito, 152.541 for the PR1 Matheson Motorsport Orica LMP2. Yep. Just ahead of the second of those cars, Mikkel Jensen, who actually is in the pits. So about a second between those two. Shea Adam has more news on that number 52.
I just walked by that car, actually, John. They're doing a setup change in the rear. They're adjusting the ride height by the looks of it and the shocks a bit, too. But Mikkel Jensen actually jumped out of the car. They fiddled about in the pedal box, and he's just strapped himself back in. They're closing the doors once more, putting the tail back on, engine cover going back on. That car is going to be sent here any second now. Man, that was perfect timing. Bye, Mikkel.
Shea Adam down in the pit lane. I just thought we had someone off there for a moment. Through goes the Inception McLaren. It's the number 70 car. Bouncing its way through turn one and bouncing its way onto the dirt there for a moment, Jeremy.
Yeah, that looks a bit of a handful, doesn't it? Pushing hard there. Number 70 is driven at the moment by... Okay, so that's his first flying out. Jordan Pepper, the South African, is driving that car. He's actually set fastest lap of the race at the Rolex 24 last time out in that McLaren. Feather in his cap.
Former Bentley boy.
Yeah. I guess he's done a couple of in and out laps, but this will be his first flying lap, and it was literally a flying lap there, wasn't it, turn one?
Flying, sliding. Ooh, I bet that woke him up as he was bouncing towards the edge and realised he wasn't getting that one back through turn one.
Great to see McLaren the first round of this season's championship. That was the first time we've seen a McLaren 720S GT3 car at Daytona. And a couple of years ago, we saw McLaren doing the Sprint Cup series, but not the full championship. So good to see that McLaren here for the first time, I think also at Sebring then.
Striking colour scheme for the NTE Lamborghini.
They've had time to actually paint it or get some colours on it for this race.
Asymmetric with the mostly white and blue on one side and then the big stripes, the swooshes of blue on the other. Actually, it rather suits the car, I think.
It
is a striking car. Slot car model of that, please. Thank you very much indeed. Breaking down for turn seven and just turning in.
Tell you what, the BMW's looking stout, aren't they, this weekend in GTD. At the moment, Bill Oblin leads the way, a 201.7. And, just up into second place goes Jordan Pepper, the 202.2, so half a second behind. Third fast is Daniel Morad in number 28 Allegra Motorsports Mercedes. As up into second place now, as I say, that goes Richard Highstand in a Lexus for Vassar Sullivan, car number 12. But the BMW I think were they fastest in both classes this morning. First.
Oh wow!
Fastest in GTD Pro this morning.
Correct.
Was Nick Yellerly in the BMW M, newly named Team RLL entry, and in GTD regular. No, of course it was Phil Ellis who was fastest for Winwood before the off for Russell Ward. But Robbie Foley was second fastest in GTD in a turn of motorsport BMW. So it's certainly been a really good start to the week for the BMW team after having struggled at Daytona.
In the 50th anniversary year of the M Performance brand, of course, and adding to their sporting credentials, should you need so to do, a brand new car for Paul Miller Racing in the Quartz Total grey, black and white colouring.
That's really sharp, doesn't it?
Another great set of colours. And for BMW, bit of a slide there for the number one car, which has got Brian Sellers behind the wheel of it. It's their first outing. They couldn't get the car. You know, a bit of a waiting list. You know what it's like. You order your car and then, you know, things change. And also should mention that BMW, as an automotive manufacturer, have now taken over and bought Alpina, the tuning house. So in a similar way to Mercedes-Benz bought AMG quite a few years ago now, Alpina, who for many years have been doing engine swaps and all kinds of things on BMWs, and they do it so well it doesn't affect the manufacturer's warranty, well, that has now come under the auspices of the blue and white propeller brand from Munich, and it is now wholly owned by BMW. Interesting to see what they make of that. We have still got an hour and 16 minutes to go. Let's go back down to Shea Adam in the sunshine of the pit lane here at Sebring.
Ashton Harrison, for so long I've seen you hanging out on the IMSA pit wall just begging to get to drive one of these race cars. Now your name is on an Acura NSX and you're going to be participating in the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. Dream come true?
Yes, I would definitely say a dream come true. You know, I've only come to this race a few times before I actually started racing professionally, and recently with Wayne Taylor Racing and being able to be a part of their driver development program. So, you know, I've been seeing a different side of it on the DPI side, but you'd be surprised at how much you can carry over when you finally get your own program and we get to be partnered with them for our debut. It's pretty awesome. I have to pinch myself sometimes that we're actually doing this.
And you've got Tom Long and Kyle Marcelli sharing the car with you. How did the decision come about to pick those two superstars?
Well, so I met Kyle last year at Super Trofeo with Wayne Taylor Racing, and you know, he's just an all-around great guy. I mean, a great driver, and we have a really great chemistry together. And you know, I've been working with Tom Long for almost 10 years, and so I started with Tom and Spec Miata, and then we transitioned to MX-5 Super Trofeo, and he's been along with me this whole time. And you know, a lot of the reason I'm the driver today is because of working with him. So, you know, it made sense to work with him in this capacity and also be teammates with him in Super Trofeo this year. So, it's good.
Fans of IMSA will recognize your name from Mazda, from Lamborghini, but now you're in an Acura. You didn't get to turn very many laps this morning. What was the problem with the car?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we had an issue with the turbo, and HPD jumped on it immediately our first lap out. We could tell something wasn't right. I would rather this happen early on in the weekend than to go on to right before a race, and we end up there with a problem. So really, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Kyle's in the car right now. He's going to shake it down, and then we'll start doing some driver rotations and get ready for the second practice.
Ashton is further proof, John, that the ladder system at IMSA, it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting all kinds of experience. Getting experience of a three-point turn at the moment. Out on the far side of the circuit is the number 8 Tower events car. Sadly, not a turn 13 at Tower. It's a turn... Oh, no, it might be, actually. Is that turn 13? Yeah, I think it is. No, it's turn 10. Excuse me. Another right-hander. Did well there to avoid the advertising banners. John Ferrano behind the wheel of that number 8 car. Sitting in 6th in LMP2 at the moment. This is the black and orange, black and tangerine-coloured car. Moving slowly at the moment down towards Tower Turn at turn 13.
Yeah, did well not to make contact with anything significant down there, which was certainly good news, though. So you'll be able to get back up to speed again. It's Mikkel Jensen that leads the way now. 149.8 8 is the best time in this session this afternoon. The fastest time this morning in LMP2 was a 149.4, so about 0.4 of a second away from that. That was set by the Swiss Louis Delatraz for in that number 8 car for Tower Motorsport. So it's a good bit hotter this afternoon. Well, a little bit hotter, warmer this afternoon, isn't it? So it wouldn't surprise me if times aren't much quicker than this morning. LMP3, Garrett Grist it is who leads for Junior 3 racing. That's car number 30. A 159.4 fastest LMP3 time this morning. 156.9. That's a big gap.
In the so we've just released the no, it's yeah, it is 15 minutes, isn't it? So we're into the middle hour now, aren't we? So we should have everybody out. The Pro Car starting to make their appearances.
Yes.
GTD Pro DPIs ready to come out. I was just thinking to myself, for some bizarre reason, I thought it was half an hour, but of course not, it's 15 minutes. Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre in effect, except of outside of turn 17 in the brand new for 2022 TV compound. Good to see some familiar faces from both here in the IMSA paddock and of course the WEC paddock as well, with whom we mingle while at Le Mans. And some faces that I'm very familiar with from our time working with the WEC directly and providing them with the audio, with their audio coverage. Still the dedicated radio channel for WEC, of course. You are just joining us this afternoon. Thank you for coming to Sebring, for switching on to RS2. www.imsaradio.com, the archive of everything we've done so far, gradually being added to there by Tim Gray and the team back in London. And at the weekend, Sirius XM 206. Flag to flag on WWOJ, Highlands Best Country. That's on 99.1 FM. And on News Talk 7:30 AM. And the new News Talk FM frequency is 95.3. Thanks to our regional radio colleagues for the opportunity to hijack their airwaves for the weekend. And they're also helping us cover the WEC as well. So if you're here at Sebring, 7:30 and 10:50 a.m. for the WEC tomorrow. And again, on News Talk's new FM frequency, 95.3 and 106.3 as well. Don't think we've ever had better coverage in terms of the local radio and regional radio frequencies as we have this weekend. So thanks to the organisation there. And good to see and hear that they are doing well and expanding that FM frequency for News Talk, which was always just the 7:30 AM in the past down through the years. And as a big radio fan, we've been locked into 99.1 ever since we got within range. And a really good varied selection of country music, everything from cowboy rock to some of the classics. Good stuff. So coming down to just on an hour and 9 minutes to go. Kyle Marcelli, we heard, taking out that number 93 Acura after Ashton Harrison Henry got out of it. New fastest lap in two classes there. And at the top of the shop, it's Neil Janney. Back in the Cadillac. Back on pace, Jeremy. 147.3 for the Swiss driver.
Indeed so. And that would be the second fastest time of the day.
Wow, wow.
In actual fact, because the best time this morning was set by Renger van der Zander in the sister car, the 01, the 146.7. Second fastest this morning was Tom Blomqvist in the Acura car number 60, 147.5. So, neatly in the middle there.
Well, Yeah, it must be good. The track conditions must be good out there, because Gar Robinson's just set a new fastest time in LMP3, a 159.322.
Yeah, and they're still quite a long way away from the times this morning in LMP3, curiously. Best time this morning was in the 56s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Aaron Tielitz has just reset the fastest time in GTD Pro for the Lexus RCF GT3 with a 201.5. And that was all done on their last laps around.
Yep, GTD Pro, like with DPI, just getting out on the track now, completing their probably third laps on track. So now setting representative times. In regular GTD, it's Brian Sellers who leads the way. And has he just gone to the top? Because, yeah, 5 out of 6 laps. Because Richard Highstand was quickest for a little while there in the Lexus car number 12.
Yes, he was, you're right.
So Brian Sellers has gone faster in the Paul Miller Racing BMW at number 1 at a 201.1. Second fastest in GT, Daniel Junker-Dehler in the number 32 Gilbert Courthoff Motorsports Mercedes. Hopefully the driver lineup won't change this week.
Almost time. What's interesting is, though, the top four in GTD, obviously with a few more laps under their belts in those cars, Jeremy, are all still quicker than Aaron Tielitz's lap.
Yeah, but Tielitz is only his third lap, so you're just getting speed into that car. Edward Cheever is on the list. Eddie Cheever 3 is in second place in GTD Pro. That's
EC3.
Yeah, Eddie's son, of course. Eddie's father was also Eddie Cheever. The middle one of the three is the guy who won the Indy 500 and raced a lot of time in Formula One and driven just about everything over the years. This is his son Edward.
So 2 is the well-known racing driver. 3 is the son of 2, yeah. And it's 3 that's here now.
Correct.
Right. Okay. I think I followed that one. I'll be asking questions later, dear listener.
I'm sure what nationality is going under there.
Oh, well, yeah, that does seem to be a bit fluid, doesn't it? Italian flag on the car, says Eve. Says Shay, sorry. And I have seen him described in a number of different ways, nationality-wise, in fairness. Oops was four.
Lloyd Duval, I think that was, in car number 5, locking up. I think it was a turn 10. Quick lock up there in that Mustang sampling GDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. That's the car that won here last year. Brilliant victory that was. Wow. I mean, they had all sorts of dramas during a race 1 year ago, the number 5 car, including a pretty big wreck at turn 1, and came back to win it. I mean, unbelievable, really. Absolutely incredible performance by that team, and the rear wing was broken again in the late stages all of a sudden with what 20 minutes or so I think he was to go in the race. Sebastian Bordega on the phone to the team saying, what's happened to this car? There was a major concern. The bounce just completely went away on the car and he was really struggling towards the end, but it was a tremendous performance by Bordega. He just kept his head and just kept, he wasn't able to run the same pace that he was earlier on, but he kept that Cadillac in all the right places on the racetrack, and there was no way past for anybody else, so he held on for a very, very accomplished victory.
Mike Rockenfeller in the Ally Cadillac, basically doing most of the work at the moment.
All the work, isn't he? Yeah, until Saturday, because his two co-drivers in that number 48 car are both committed to running for the Toyota team. That's Kamui Kobayashi and Jose Maria Lopez are running the Toyota Gazoo Racing Cadillac Hypercar in the World Endurance Championship race, and with that factory commitment there, they are committed to they're not allowed to race to drive the other car until their commitments to WC are over, which will be on Friday evening.
Mike Rockefeller himself driving the number 10 LMP2, the Vector car in the WEC. A little bit of a hop.
Yeah, but since that's not a factory car,
exactly. Yeah, exactly so. Another little hop skip.
Not John Frano again.
The number eight of Tower Motorsport. And Shea Adam can bring us up to date with some more news from the pit lane.
One guy I really did not expect to see sitting on the pit lane, particularly in a Mercedes fire suit, because you got a race coming up right off the back of this one, Stephen McLear, and you are the championship leader in that one once the green flag falls. So what are you doing getting ready for the Mercedes?
Yeah, you know, it's I'm really excited running both classes this weekend. We're looking good for the Porsche. We're up front in the GT4 class, which will be going in about an hour. I've not been in the Mercedes yet. I'm going to get in shortly after Danny here, and right now we're looking fairly strong. Car seems to be pretty good over a long run, and you know, we know Sebring 12-hour, a lot of stuff changes, so we'll run around for 12 hours hopefully and see where we are come Saturday night.
How's Danny Yunkadella been fitting in with you and Mike Skeen so far?
It's amazing, you know, once a competitor, now a teammate. When we first tested at Petit Le Mans in the car, you know, himself and Guy Cosmo taught me a lot, you know, to get up to speed. And yeah, I'm just having a blast with this car. I can't get enough laps in it.
How long of a break are you actually going to get between getting out of the Mercedes at the end of this session and then getting into the Porsche?
You know, not too bad. I just need to change race suits. I've obviously got a superstar, Alex Prima, as my teammate, and he qualified on pole yesterday. I don't think it'll be an easy walk away. I think it's going to be a pretty good battle at the end with multiple cars. But I'm going to have about an hour to have a water and some food and then get right back in.
Lucky you. Good luck, Stephen.
Thanks, Shay.
Glutton for punishment or just enjoying the race too much? I can't decide which way it is. But you know what? When you consider how hard Stephen McAleer has worked to get himself in that position, you can't begrudge him as many drives as he wants to take, to be quite honest.
Yeah, no, yeah. Stephen McAleer and Scott Andrews is another one from sort of opposite ends of the world. Stephen, of course, from Glasgow in Scotland originally, and Scott Andrews from Australia. They've both worked incredibly hard, you know, without substantial backing behind them at all, to make really solid careers for themselves. Stephen is driving just about everything, as indeed is Scott Andrews as well. Andrews is going to be driving in one of the Vassar Sullivan cars in the GTD class this weekend. A late opportunity that came about due to the fact that Kyle Kirkwood, who was originally down to drive the number 14 car, had instead to concentrate on the IndyCar weekend at Texas. So unavailable then to drive for Vassar Sullivan. With his experience in the car, Aaron Tielitz stepped from the regular GTD car into the pro car for this weekend. That opened the door for Scott Andrews to step into the number 12, and he's very, very much looking forward to driving that car. But both of those two guys, Stephen McAleer and Scott Andrews, they are models of how to become a professional racing driver if you don't have the funding.
Let's go down to Joe Bradley, who's joined us in the IMSA pit lane. And he's with 2003 Le Mans winner for Bentley, Yorkshireman Guy Smith.
Guy, you're a driver that's quite familiar with Sebring, I would imagine. What's the secret?
there is no secret. Every time you come back to this place, you learn something new. It's really is a fantastic circuit. It's really interesting speaking to a lot of drivers that have not raced here before. They come out of the car with their eyes wide open, and it's like, man, this is some place, and it really is. It's a really fantastic racetrack, and yeah, it's always a joy to drive it.
When was the first time you came here? It's almost 20 years, if I remember, isn't it? Yeah. That bump at turn 17, the final turn here, is it getting worse?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think the cars are getting better and the suspensions are getting better, but it never feels any smoother through there. So. Yeah, it's definitely pretty bad around there, but you know, that's really what makes this place so special. The bumps are a challenge from a driving point of view, from an engineering point of view, and you know, it's kind of that's the fabric of this racetrack, and that's what makes it so special. So it's just a really unique place to come and race.
Thanks, Guy. It's getting very busy down here. We've been ushered out of the way, so I'm going to get out of United Autosports, where the refuelers just pulled a big churn across. Always great to speak to Guy Smith, John, and just reminds me of those scenes from almost 20 years ago when he first came here. Was it with Audi that he came here first?
He certainly drove that Gulf sponsored Audi R8, the open top car. Gary Dodds taking pictures for the LMS in those days, and got a great picture of him turning into turn one and sparking like mad. And, well, the car sparking like mad. Those cars were awesome round here. Still very keen to be involved. He never really stopped competing. Did a bit of classic rallying in a Mark II Ford Escort. At one stage, him and his dad both had cars and they were competing. New sponsor on the side of the Pfaff Porsche driveway. We're hearing more about that during the week. Presentation tomorrow, I believe. Car sales and sourcing site. Jeremy's looking up Guy Smith, I think, to see if he can see which year he came.
No, just looking through my... I don't have a new media guide. I don't know if there is a new record book that is produced every year by Ken Breslau. I haven't seen Ken yet, so I'm hoping there's going to be an updated version of it, but it's a tremendous little booklet that he has been producing every year. But of course, we haven't been here since 2019, so that's an older version. I was just thumbing through it just because it's kind of fun to do so.
There is a hardback version as well, which I've got at home and realised I really should have brought with me. Share, Adam, MSR update, please.
Continuing on my pattern, and don't be fooled because that is an Acura in the background representing MS Life. That was the Wayne Taylor Racing Acura, the Konica sponsored one. The Meyer Shank Racing Acura, let me let it speak for itself. Oh, no, wait, I can't because it's not here. That car is having an engine change. They are hoping to have it done by the time the session is nearing completion because they want to get out for an install lap, but saw something on the data that they didn't quite love at the end of that first practice session, and the crew guys are currently working as hard as they can to get that done.
Right. That's, of course, okay. The car that won the opening race of the season and jumped up into second position in the class in the earlier session. So, that's a surprise to hear that they've had some difficulties there with that Meyer Shank car number 60. Stoffel van Doorn, I think, didn't get a chance to drive the car this morning. It was Oliver Jarvis and Tom Blomqvist who did the running. It was Blomqvist who set the time.
Joe Bradley is with Guido van der Garde down in the pit lane. Great to have them here. Surprised they're not on the entry list for Le Mans. And I wonder if those two things are somehow linked. LMP2 teams that moved to IMSA didn't get their Le Mans entries. They are on the reserve list, though.
I will ask the question. But firstly, Guido, great to see you here at Sebring. What's the team trying to achieve out of this session?
Well, we had an issue with the pump of the braking pump, so they had to all change that. So we lost around 30-35 minutes, which was not ideal. But obviously, this morning, the FP1, we were running quite well. Been a while me and Fritz were here, because the last time we ran here in WEC was 2019. It's great to be back here. Great track, great atmosphere. So I'm really looking forward to this evening session and obviously the race on Saturday.
Is there anything the driver can do to contribute to nursing the car? You know, 12 hours around Sebring is equivalent to, you know, 90 hours around everywhere else this year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's really hard for the car. Also, the driving-wise, you know, it's also hard because you're bouncing around a lot in your seat. But the only thing you can do, be gentle with the car. Don't touch anybody else with the slower cars. And then if you're there in the end, you can try to fight for the win.
Heindorf's just been saying, as I said, I was about to talk to you about, we're all surprised not to see Racing Team Netherlands on the entry list for Le Mans. Is there what happened there? Why not?
Yeah, well, it's a pity, yeah, but it's like this. I think sometimes it worked like this. The entry list is out now. I think we were on the side list. I think they soon have to make a decision what they do with the side list, and if they don't make a decision soon, we will not do it.
Yeah, of course. We're all disappointed not to see that, mate. Great to see you, though.
Thank you.
You as well, Dylan. I'll speak to you later. Teamed with Dylan Murray in that number 29 Racing Team Netherlands, the yellow livery car with the Jumbo livery. That's what you're looking for.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, sounded a bit disappointed there, didn't they? Didn't he? That they weren't there. Been a good supporter of the ACO in the past. They've decided to come and race in the USA, and didn't get there. They didn't have an automatic entry. In fairness, it's not as if they were part of the WEC, but put on a good show the last few times they've been there. Fritz van Aert, massive supporter of Netherlands drivers, Jeremy, and yeah, I mean, putting his money where his mouth is in so many different ways. Yes, and I think racing over here, because he's about to launch Jumbo in the US, isn't he? That was one of the reasons behind it when we were speaking to him at Daytona.
Yeah, his La Place restaurants are already.
La Place, that's right.
Yeah, they're that's already right. Over here. He's got 11,000 restaurants in total for La Place, and they've already opened in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, and so he's spending a lot more time over here than he has previously. He's a busy guy, is Fritz, but tremendous enthusiast, and boy, as you say, he's done a huge amount for drivers, particularly for Dutch drivers in this sport, and you know, he's given Dylan Murray a great opportunity to step up into the LMP2 for the long distance races this season here in North America too. So it's great to have him over here, and odd that he wouldn't have an entry.
A little bit of contact at tower turn number 13 between a P2 and a P3, and I only just caught the back end of that, literally, as they were going away. Think it was the 47 Motorsports number 7 car was one of them. I think that's the car that was damaged with the left-hand legality panel behind the left rear wheel being dislodged there. The tiniest touch between left rear and right front of those two cars. Matt Kawame in that team with Trent Nestep and Anthony Mantella, the Drive Capital supported car. ...51 minutes to go, and a bit of ditch hooking, or at least curb hooking, from the 0-2 Cadillac of Neil Janney. Swiss driver pushing very hard indeed on this lap. Needs to find 3/10 of a second to get on terms with his teammate. We're going to try and get as many interviews in this session as we can. So let's go back to first chair Adam down in the pit lane with Maxi Goetz.
Maxi, it's the last pit box on the pit lane, but it's kind of a desirable place to be because you get to watch all the cars going into turn one. This is a place to come for your first time at Sebring, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great to be back. We've been here the last 3 weeks ago for testing. We've been a bit more further down the pits, but now we have an optimum view to turn one, which is outstanding for here to see how the cars behave and so on. So it's great to be here. And hopefully I will enjoy the race, of course. It's outstanding. It's a lot of people are here. It's crowded, better than last year's without spectators. So looking forward to this.
What are your impressions of Sebring in the Mercedes? Because that seems like it would be a good combination.
Yes, so it's first of all, it's very bumpy. You know, I'm not used to such a bumpy tracks. And this is something for us coming from Europe, something special. You know, we have to adapt the driving a bit on this track. And I've been here my first time 20 years ago or something, as a spectator during my holidays, but never been on track really. Now hitting the track with the Mercedes, it's great. Of course, we know the Mercedes is quite good on bumps and on braking zones and then also in fast corners. And also the tire degradation is good on this car. So I think over the run, over a stint, we look quite strong. And even the first practice shows we are competitive. So let's see how it ends up. But it's just great to be here and makes a lot of fun.
Second race with the Allegra Motorsports crew too. What's it been like joining this family?
Yeah, as you said, it's a family. You know, it's of course I worked with bigger teams in the past, but coming here to US, working with Allegra is a lot of fun. We were a bit unlucky in Daytona. We had a power steering issue, so we had to retire the car. But But in the end, it works really well. You know, they are open, they are friendly, they are very professional. They know what to do. And I'm here as well to help the team to develop, to bring them a bit more further. The car is like new for them. They run in the past a lot of it with Porsche, but now it's a new world with a Mercedes. So with my expertise, hopefully I can help a little bit these guys. But with Daniel and Michael, I think we have a good good team pairing, and we're looking forward to this.
Very much so. And there's so many Mercedes factory drivers here as well. Are you guys sharing information amongst yourselves about the track, particularly since you've never been here?
Yeah, very. So in the end, it's a very traditional race here. The European guys following this since many, many years. And I'm really proud, like the others, coming here to race here and to show how good the Germans are, I would say, or the European guys. And it's just fun to compete in this kind of level of racing. And I'm really looking forward to this because we did already one race in Daytona, now it's the second one, and it's also kind of for us training to get ready for the European season.
Now, Maxi, I remember a couple of years ago you did a fun helmet with the Batman on it and all the different liveries. Are we going to see anything like that from you again soon? We've got to do it. You're coming back to America.
Yeah, of course. I will. I'm on it. I will present my new helmet design very soon. And I have like the DGM trophy on it and the Batman as well. So a good combination. And the Batman brought me luck all the time in the last year. So I'm continuing popping up with new designs every year.
Love it, Maxi. Thanks for the chat. Good luck.
Thank you.
How has Maxi Goertz not been to Sebring before? I honestly, if that had been a pub quiz, I'd have lost the last round. If that had been the winning question, I would have lost the last round.
Yeah.
On that.
Well, he hadn't been to Daytona either.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, just extraordinary. Just want to put something right that I said earlier on. I described Alpina as a tuner. And in fact, Kevin Payne, who's had Alpinas in the past, looking fella, has tweeted at IMSA Radio and said they're actually a manufacturer in their own right because the cars have, yes, they have a BMW VIN number, but they have an Alpina one as well. So it's rather like what Steve Celine used to do with the Mustangs. And he was recognised as a manufacturer in his own right, which is how the Celine S7R came into being, because he was recognised in the US and, more importantly, by the SEO as a manufacturer. So, Kevin, thank you for that. And I have to say, I didn't know that. So... I would say I'd forgotten, but I hadn't. I just didn't know it. So that was a genuine error on my part. And thank you for pointing it out. So BMW have still bought Alpina, a manufacturer of BMW-based cars, I suppose you would say, in their own right. I wonder what that means, whether we could have an Alpina and an Alpine in racing. I'm just saying that. Shea Adam is looking at something that she's not happy about. What's going on, Shea?
Magnus Racing Aston Martin is in front of the Michelin box, which should not have any cars in it ever. There was just a jack wedged sideways under the left front of this car in the wheel well. I'm wondering if maybe the tire wasn't properly secured, and they're having the driver, who is John Potter, turn the wheel. They're having him fire it up, turning the wheel again, trying to make sure that everything is good, but I don't see an air gun. I have no idea why they would have wedged it up this way and why they would have stopped the car so far down from his pit box, because it's pit boxes by start finish. This Michelin box is near the crossover bridge that has Chevrolet written on it.
Thank you, Shea. Keep an eye on that. New top time, Jeremy, and we have got the 0-1 ahead of the 0-2 by 1.5 tenths of a second. And 147.0, starting to get down, as Charles Dressing used to say, starting to throw overhand here. Things just starting to get a bit more exciting.
Yeah, great to see Ryan Hunter-Reay a couple of laps ago turning that 147 flat. That's a new fastest time in the session, by, so by a tenth and a half. The fastest time this morning was set in that same car by Renge van der Zander, 146.7. But good lap times this afternoon, certainly. I've been turned by a bunch of drivers, a bunch of green on the charts at the moment. It's an LMP3, new fastest time for the number 36 Andretti Autosport entry. It's now coming on to the Alcon straight. Josh Burden, the Aussie, has gone fastest in that class, 158.146. And still somewhere away from the fastest time was set earlier on today by Colin Brown in number 54 car at a 156.9. So we're still 1.2 seconds away. That was a great lap by Colin Brown this morning, no question about that. But Josh Burden fastest this afternoon. Hugo de Wilde second position in number 6, Mulner Motorsports Duquesne. So it's Ligier at the top, Duquesne second. Then another couple of Ligiers. Number 30 car, I think it was Garrett Grist that set the time. I lie, it was not Garrett Grist. It was Dakota Dickerson making his debut in IMS WeatherTech Sports Car Championship this weekend. The reigning IMSA Prototype Challenge champion. He won that series with the MLT Motorsports team, Dr. Mike Thompson, last year. And this is his first opportunity to drive in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And he is so excited to be doing that, I can tell you. And he's repaid the faith there by setting a pretty good lap time right out of second session in this car. Did you drive this morning? Briefly, I think.
Give you an update on the entry for the number 7 car, courtesy of Shea. She's been down and confirmed with the team that Matt Bell has replaced Trenton Estep in that car. So it's Mark Kouame, Anthony Mantella, and British Matt Bell, the lanky northeasterner, in that car for the 47 Motorsports. Trenton, I believe, is... maybe we get a word with him, but maybe deciding to concentrate on the Carrera Cup North America.
Yeah, there's several drivers that are doing double duty, and yeah, there's really only one session that was would have been a problem, either the first session this morning for WeatherTech. From here on out, there's no clashes because the GT3 Porsche Carrera Cup North America is done now for their week.
Good point.
Mark Kouame, he's regular co-driver and boss in the PCCNA is doing this race, and several others are as well. And they didn't drive in the first session this morning in order to concentrate their efforts on the Porsches. But curious, I just sent him a text and he hasn't responded. He's not very good at responding to texts sometimes, Trenton. But I'll find out what happened. It was certainly a late change to the entry list, which I hadn't been aware of until just now.
Yeah, correct. Well, this is why we have these sessions, Jeremy.
Yep.
And there's a bit more writing on Jeremy's entry list. He's made that change now. 40 and a half minutes to go. And Brian Sellers still out at the Paul Miller Racing BMW M4 GT3. Still, he's obviously found himself comfortable in that new car. And...
oops.
He's second quickest of the... GT Daytona cars. Meantime, Jeremy, we have a...
that's Robert McGuinness, who's off the road in the car barn with Peregrine Racing Lamborghini. That's car number 39.
Yeah. We're going to have to get used to seeing Lamborghini. Spin. It's turn number one. A big bump right at the edge of it. Oh, tried to pinch the exit. He was going wide. And does the old crisscross across the road. Proper tank slap of that one.
Yeah.
Realised he'd gone into turn one too fast. Has managed not to hit anything that was going to do much damage.
Probably sent a bill for a couple of WeatherTech signs, but other than that, he's got away with it.
He really has.
It's very easy there to, when you do lose it on the exit of turn one, it's very easy to loop it and impact the wall on the other side, which is exactly what happened to the car that won last year's race halfway through.
That's right.
Was it Tristan Fernie who was driving at that stage? I can't remember now.
It might have been Jeremy, yeah.
Or was it Bordeaux? I can't remember who it was, but that's exactly what they did. And they hit the fence on the left-hand side of the racetrack and did what appeared to be a fair amount of damage, but they got it all repaired again and came back and won the race. Remarkable.
Talk about walking wounded.
Yeah.
Very, very good indeed.
But McGuinness gets away with that one. He has chatted to him yesterday. He's loving driving with this car barn with Peregrine team. And he loves Sebring. He's telling me how much fun it is to drive around this racetrack. He's driven here in on the Road to Indy events in the past. And was super excited about his Brandon Trippier. We certainly got some excitement there, did Robert McGuinness, the young New Yorker.
Still the Ryan Hunter rear time at the top of the shop, 147.040. He's in the pits now. Alex Lynn has taken over the 0-2 Cadillac from the Chip Ganassi team. Still about a tenth and a half away. Third, Mike Rockenfeller, having an absolute ball this week for Ally Cadillac and for Vector Sport in WEC.
Fourth, yeah, Alex Lynn didn't get a chance to drive this morning, John,
right,
in that number 0-2 car. In the DPI class, everybody drove this morning except for the guys we've already talked about, the two Ally Cadillac drivers, Jose Maria Lopez and Kumi Kobayashi, as you talked about earlier on. They're committed to driving the Toyota until the end of the WEC race tomorrow. Then on Saturday, they can hop into the Ally Cadillac. Also not driving this morning for the same reason was Mike Conway in the number 31 car. The other two drivers who weren't out this morning were Alex Lynn, that we were just talking about, number 02 Cadillac, and Stoffel Vandoorne, following the problem towards the end of that first session in the number 60 Meyer Shank racing with Kerber Agajanian Acura. Stoffel Vandoorne making his IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship debut this weekend and subbing effectively for Elio Castroneves and or Simon Pagenaud, both committed to the IndyCar race in Texas, which will take place on Sunday.
Matthew Jakobsen, Sean Creech Motorsport, to the top of LMP3, 157.922. Backs that up with a 159.874. So that Ligier going well. Nice to see the variety of chassis in LMP3. Ligier, Duquesne in there. Who else has just gone quickest there? No, that's just Harry Baylock going out for GR3 Racing. He put a faster time in. So that's a decent time by Malthy Jakobsen ahead of the Andretti Autosport car. Gabby Chavez in that car at the moment. 33 from 36 by about 0.2 seconds.
Yep, still a second away from the time turned by Colin Brown this morning in the core Autosport car number 54.
In fairness, that was Colin Brown, though.
Indeed so.
That is the Colin effect.
Yes, indeed.
When you're talking about Colin and everybody else, that's about right, isn't it? About a second.
Yeah.
Super driver. Penalty for car 44.
So when you talked about, that's the Magnus.
Oh, yes, that was the car that had to get recovered. Maybe a wheel not fitted correctly. Adam saw the jack inside the front wheel arch. They'll do a drive through, nothing worse than that for them. Talking about people getting called up the steward's office at WEC today, Matteo Cressoni had a €500 fine yesterday for going through the checkered flag twice. Roman Dumas did it today, and Julian Andlauer managed to go past the checkered flag three times.
Someone's not paying attention.
Well, they red flagged. They had to put red flags out at the end of it, I think.
Has his radio broken or something?
Well, I can only imagine his radio had broken and he wasn't
paying attention.
You know, the start-finish line isn't where he comes out of the pits. And, you know, maybe somebody forgot to tell him that. Shea Adam has an update on missing cars.
There's a couple of them that should be out here that just aren't. We've got the 25 BMW that went behind the wall. Augusto Farfus was driving it back with the assistance of the crew, pushing him back there, but I've just checked in with the team. John Edwards and Connor DeFilippi still sitting out, still looking at data coming in from the sister car and expecting to get back behind the wheel of their car before this one is over. The other car that we have not seen and haven't seen since the initial red flag came out in the first practice one, that's car number 97, the Mercedes from WeatherTech Racing. They have a leak. They don't know from where, and they can't quite figure out what the fluid is. So it's going to be a little bit longer for the WeatherTech Racing Mercedes, but we should see that one for night practice,
We have a leak. We don't know where it's from, and we don't know what it is.
Well, I suggested that they do what happens when you have a float, a pool float. and you can't figure out where the leak is coming from. You just hold various parts of it down underwater until the bubbling starts up, right? That's how you find a leak in a car, too. I mean, not hold the thing underwater, but that's how you find a leak.
Well, you get Bradley round for it to taste what it is. He can identify the liquid, and then that might sort of narrow it down a little bit. Oh, straight on at, again, turn 10. This is the black, yellow and grey number 30, Jeremy.
Yeah, Ari Bailo got off the road there.
Just taking that car out.
Junior 3 car, number 30.
Second or third lap out, if that, Jeremy.
Yeah, you could be right. Actually, I think that was his out lap.
All right, okay. Yeah. I saw that he'd only recently jumped into it. Tom Gamble has replaced Roman DeAngelis.
Here we go. See what has replay here. Just
Brick too late.
Yep, brick too late, then too deep. Runs wide.
He's not the first person to do that, judging by the witness marks on the outside of that corner.
It's true.
Literally ploughing a furrow there on the left-hand side of turn 10. And it has dried up considerably. It was very, very damp in the over the weekend and in the early part of the week here at Sebring. And I mean, standing water at probably an inch and a half in the paddock in some places, deep, which was great fun on a golf cart at speed. Possibly not for anybody who was a passenger with me, but, you know, bow wave central.
Was Shea telling us earlier on about what happened to number 23, heart racing Aston? That car hasn't turned a lap time in this session.
Don't think so. Shea is at that area of the pit lane. She's towards pit out, so she can whiz up to that and find out. We did hear Alex Riberas, didn't we? So
yeah, because the number 27 car, which is running in GTD as opposed to the 23 car, runs in pro, but the 27 car is right down towards the bottom of the charts as well. Fastest in GTD pro is the Lamborghini Huracan. I'm not sure we mentioned that, Calibre 63. Set that time a little while ago. I think it was Calderari driving. I think it was Mirko Bertolotti who set the time. Yes, indeed it was. Back on quite a while ago now. So that's the fastest time in GTD Pro. 2:08.61. Just look at the times from this morning. The fastest time in GTD Pro was a 2:05 for Nick Yellerly in the BMW.
Still only the one car that is quicker than the Paul Miller Racing BMW in GTD. Yeah. Philip Eng has just jumped into the BMW M Team RLL and he's on his way out. Daniel Junkadella for Gilbert Kothoff Motorsport in the BMW. He has just started his first flying lap, so let's see what times those guys put in. They are pretty decent drivers. So many pretty decent drivers. We've talked a lot about the depth of field. It's been really interesting to see, even in this early part of the season, just how things are working out. Let's go to NTE Lamborghini. That's that very striking asymmetric shades of blue Lamborghini Huracan. And Don Yount is with Joe Bradley.
Don, just keeping a wary eye on the timing screens. Don, we were just mentioning how wonderful your livery is on that Lamborghini. It looks absolutely fantastic. Is the what's the inspiration behind the colour scheme?
The livery was Paul's idea, and I really love the colours. It really pops, and I was really happy with that. Yep.
I'm hoping a slot car will appear for the collection. How's the car doing? I notice you're looking at the timing screens.
We're still chasing setup, but I've got two young kids in there, and I know they're going to figure it out. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to them figuring it out and making it a little easier on me for later today.
You're chasing setup. Is that for performance or?
You know what? I think the performance is there. I think just like a lot of people, when they come into Sebring after Daytona, they're still adjusting to the bumps. And I think we're just trying to smooth them out a little bit so we can get on power earlier. So,
is it a completely different damper and suspension setup that you use for Sebring, in say, like you just mentioned there, from Daytona?
Yeah, I do know that they raised the car up quite a bit today, and they made a couple other large adjustments from this morning. So, you know, it is doing better than this morning, but the track's not as quick this afternoon. So, I even though I think we're a little slower, we're making progress.
What does that do from as a driver? I mean, a high race car is kind of counterproductive, isn't it? I mean, does it make the car more wallowy and stuff?
It does, but it's smoothing some of them out. And I think my issue, especially, I think they're trying to help me out a little bit. I'm used to prototypes from the last few years and the car being sucked down. So it is jumping around quite a bit for me. So I think the kids are trying to smooth it out for me at this point.
Okay, thanks, Don. It's nice to meet you as well. I've never met you before. Great to meet you. Don Young there with a bit of insight as to what these teams are chasing. And is it once again, the bumps are mentioned, aren't they? They're very much at the forefront.
They have to be.
To the forefront of what people are trying to get around.
And Jeremy, the inspiration for the livery coming from Paul, as mentioned by Don there, that's Paul Matter.
Yeah, he's the team principal there at NTE Sport, along with, for this year, it's NTE Sport with SSR, which was formed in 2020 by Tiger Tari from Turkey. But yeah, Paul Matter is the primary team principal there. And the two youngsters that Don was alluding to there, Jaden Conright from California, who's the inaugural recipient of the IMSA Diverse Driver Development Scholarship this year. And alongside joining him, he also drove the car at Daytona. But joining the team for this weekend is Mateo Lorena from Guatemala, who is he became the youngest IMSA pole position qualifier at Watkins Glen last year, when he took the pole in LMP3 for Performance Tech Motorsports. So he's moving across to the NTE Sport Lamborghini for this weekend. But those two kids, then Jaden Conright and Matteo Lorena. Lorena's just 17 years of age, 18 years now. He was 18 a couple of weeks ago. And Jaden Conright is just 22 from Fremont, California.
Sports car racing all of a sudden seemingly imperceptibly has become a young man's sport, hasn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Often seen, you know, years ago was seen as somewhere that you went after you'd had a career somewhere else in motorsport. That is not the case anymore now. There's opportunity for young drivers to be paid to go racing in sports car racing.
Yeah, ultimately, certainly. I'm not sure they're paying at the moment, but certainly, yeah, the two youngsters, Matteo Lorena, they're just 18 years of age, and even younger than him is Kiffin Simpson, who's driving the Gradient Racing Acura Karma 66. Also drove it very impressively at Daytona, did Kiffin. He's still driving open wheel cars as well, stepping up to Indy Lights this season after a season last year in Ford Regional Americas and in the Indy Pro 2000 category as well. So he'll be sharing number 66 car, Kiffin Simpson, with Mario Farnbacher and Till Bechtelsheimer, of course.
Ask and ye shall receive, a mystery solved regarding the heart of racing Aston Martin. And I know that this will make Sarah Rigby happy in particular, listening back over in England. It was an issue that they discovered at the end of the first practice session that resulted in the heart of racing crew basically going from the front of the car to the back to try and figure out what was wrong with it. It took so long that they've only just gotten out. Alex Rubiales did about four laps before he pulled into the pit lane. Now it's Maxime Martin taking over that car, the driver who will be sharing the 27 for the sprint races alongside Roman De Angelis, so jumping back and forth between the two cars. But they weren't satisfied at the end of that first practice session, went from front to back. They did a test session here a couple of weeks ago, but the bumps are just biting differently today. That's what Paul told me from the team. Thank you, Paul, for having a quick chat while the car came into the pit lane and mechanics swarm underneath it once again.
So that is just basically old-fashioned work with the suspension settings, Shay. Is that what we're talking about there?
That's what they're doing now, but they did find an issue. They weren't happy to disclose it as to what the issue was, but they had to go over the entire car, basically crawling over it in between the two practice sessions. And now they're working on the suspension, trying to fine-tune it, because this track feels so much differently than it did a couple of weeks ago.
Pretty much every team that I spoke to at the Prologue weekend said the evolution of the track here is unlike anywhere else in the world. Yeah. And, you know, they just thought they were getting a handle on it. And, of course, we had rainstorms in the middle of the week. And then it changes again and you're back to square one. It's too easy here to think you can chase the track, Jeremy. And doing that, you could disappear down a set a plug hole very, very quickly indeed.
Yeah, true that. And the conditions and track feel does alter dramatically along with the weather conditions here. It's pretty hot now. It was a little bit cooler in the first session. And it's going to be a fair bit cooler probably when we get into ninth practice tonight. And, of course, when we race on Saturday, the race will start and go through the heat of the day but end up when it's much cooler at night time. It's really the night time hours that are critical because those are the closing stages of the race.
Yeah.
Just talking about youngsters as we were a few minutes ago, we've now got us to a new second-place car. We had a new second-place car in LMP2. I said youngster there. It's Montoya that went second fastest, but not Juan Pablo. It was his 16-year-old son, Sebastian, who jumped up into second place in that class at a 150.1. And as I was relating that, Rui Pinto de Andrade has just gone fastest overall. Again, in that Taumos, what car number 8? So back to the top of the charts there for that number 8 car.
Just going through turn 7 now.
149.8.
Yeah, it's had a couple of off-road excursions, yes. That car, but it's been quick when it's been on the track. The bright green number 63, Andrea Caldarali. For TR3 Racing, you can't miss that Lamborghini Huracan.
That's a car that's fastest in GTD Pro.
Fastest in,
yep.
GTD Pro. I think it's fair to say that the Lamborghini Huracan is perhaps not the most subtle of cars in any colour, but in that very bright green, it certainly stands out. And Tower back to the top as well as that Gibson-engined LMP2 car rumbles through Sean Debian Benz and back onto the Alec Ullman straight. Fantastic paddock here, by the way. If you're coming up at the weekend, first of all, why aren't you here already? Because we've got plenty of racing to come today, in fact, with the LNG Automotive 120 for the Michelin Pilot Challenge. But if you are coming, make sure you have a wander through the paddock area, because the whole of the length of the back straight behind that wall to driver's right, effectively, that is literally top to bottom, both sides of a paddock road, is cars. Cars and awnings for the various IMSA classes here and, of course, for the FIA WEC. Sheer reckoned 177 cars when we started this week. We've lost one or two. And did notice that, was it Jerome Blakemolen's team, Jeremy, in the Michelin Pilot Challenge, who had to pack up and go home after an incident?
They didn't have to pack up and go home, but they did pack up and go home. Jerome Blakemolen was fastest in the first session, and then the team principal, Tim Pappas got in the car, and unfortunately had an off. Black Swan Racing, number 540 car, had an off, well, fairly big off, actually. Did quite a lot of damage to the car, but they do have a spare car in the trailer. They've got two new Porsche 718 Caymans, but Tim had enough and he upped and left and didn't really tell too many people, but was my understanding. So Jerome, with nothing else to do this weekend, is most likely going to be out of here today. That was his plan when I saw him yesterday evening. He was somewhat taken aback that that he wasn't going to be driving in the race in an hour or so's time.
Could have given him a job in the booth.
Yeah, well, yeah, quite.
Yeah. If he'd asked, no problem.
Should have suggested that.
Yeah.
He was more intent on getting back home to the family.
I'm not surprised for Jerome, because he seems to be working every weekend. If there's 48 weekends of racing that he could take part in, he's racing 49 of them, isn't he? People have often said, how come he's not been a works driver? I don't think he could take the cut in his running, to be honest. He's everywhere. He was at racing at Zandvoort with his dad most recently, I noticed.
Really?
Yeah, and a bit of a clubby. Thoroughly enjoyed that.
And of course, he shared at Daytona, he shared with his brother Sebastian.
Yeah. So, great fella.
I remember Michael back from F3 days back in the 70s.
Yeah, thoroughly. And the new Zandvoort is fantastic. I always liked the old Zandvoort and the older Zandvoort. I never got to the very old Zandvoort. But I've done a couple of jobs at the pre F1-ified Zandvoort. The only thing I won't miss from the changes from Formula 1 is having to climb up three ladders, open ladders, to get to the top of the commentary box. And once I was up there, I wasn't coming down at the end of the day. Shall we go for lunch now? No, thanks. I'll stay here. Bring me something back. Let's go down to the numbers.
Circuit bar was there. Is that something?
Sorry?
The circuit bar was in that above the pit.
Oh, really?
Brilliant.
Oh, right.
Yeah, back in the day.
We were talking about 47 Motorsports and the number 7 car, Anthony Mantella, Mark Kwame. No Trenton Estep in that car weekend. It is Matt Bell, and Joe Bradley has found the tall Northeasterner. Subtitles for this interview will be available on page 888.
I was about to say, Hindhoff, you might have to translate to two lads from the Northeast here in the pit lane at Sebring. What more do you need? Matt, last minute deal this. You weren't on the entry list that I have. So what happened there then? How are you here?
Thanks to Anthony Mantella, who's my co-driver in the car, really. So, I think 47 Motorsports and Anthony were talking leading up to the race. I've worked with Anthony a little bit at the AWA back at Daytona and doing a little bit more work with AWA through the rest of the year. I think Anthony wanted to get some more seat time, so he joined 47 and gave me a call about 7 days ago and said, "I want you to come along." So, quite last minute, but... my favourite race in America. I absolutely love the 12-hour. It's one of the best races on the planet in sports car racing, so really happy to have been given the opportunity again and join the 47 Motorsports guys.
What makes it that challenge, Matt? Is it the track? What exactly are you trying to say?
Well, 53 cars this year is certainly adding to the challenge, so it's a pretty amazing grid. But just this place, the bumps, the heat, the fatigue of it, the temperature change across a race, so you could have the worst car in the world at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the best thing you've ever driven by the time you get to 8 p.m. at night. So, trying to throw the dart at the dartboard and get a good car is always a challenging thing around here. It certainly gets the creative juices flowing for the whole crew. So, yeah, just a great race, great track, great place.
I was observing your debrief there, and from your body language, are you reporting a bit of snap oversteer on the bumps?
We're actually mainly struggling with understeer at the moment, and then a bit of oversteer catches us out every now and again. But yeah, with these temperatures at the moment, we're struggling to get the front end working how we would like, so we'll keep plugging away.
We'll be fine at 8 p.m.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's what it matters. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Have a car that's good in the dark. Do your best work in the dark. That's always one of our keys to the race here. Tall Matt Bell, the faster and better looking of the two racing Bell brothers. That's what he always tells me to say, because he knows his brother will be listening somewhere in the world. Hello to Rob. And haven't seen him for a while either. Good to hear the dulcet tones of Matt Bell. And glad to hear that Bell Senior, father of Matt and Rob, is feeling a lot better. I know he's not been very well recently, so that's very good news for all concerned. Just coming down to 15 minutes to go at IMSA Radio. If you want to get in touch, still to come this afternoon, the Alan J Automotive Networks 120. We've got qualifying for the FIA WEC. That'll be over on RS1. And then we've got night practice for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Night practice is what Joe's looking forward to, because it means it will be a lot cooler in the pit lane. And speaking of the pit lane, Ally Cadillac update, the number 48. As I should just mention, by the way, we've got an Acura on top with then five Cadillacs behind, as Philippe Albuquerque has pushed the 147 flat button in that car. 147.015, new fastest time of this session. Shit, Adam.
We're used to Philippe Albuquerque doing stuff like that. Johnny's been doing it all weekend in the WEC sessions.
Absolutely.
The reason that I was going to give you an Ally Cadillac update was because it too was sitting forlornly on the pit lane. No driver in sight, because there's only one driver who can participate in this session per the rules from Toyota. There are three drivers who pilot the number 7 are not allowed to drive in the race cars until morning warm-up before the race. So that means that Mike Rockefeller has to do all the driving for the Ally Cadillac, which he shares with Jose Maria Lopez and Kamui Kobayashi. Interestingly enough, Mike Conway, who shares in the 31 Cadillac, not able to play either for that team car. But I walked by the car. It was sitting up on its hijacks, no tires, and no driver. So I went over to Chris Mitchum and asked if he finally broke Rocky. He laughed and said, no, the truth of the reality is there's too many cars out on track right now for them to really get any useful running. And we got a 15-minute session coming up where it's only the pro cars. So they're saving their tires for right now, which means Mike Rockefeller back in the Ally Cadillac, just waiting for the Michelins to go back on the car as well.
Yeah, that was 60 seconds ago when the rest of the cars were flagged in. So within a minute or two, we will just have the pro cars out on the track. Bit of a qualifying simulation. And we'll see, although qualifying is much earlier in the day tomorrow, we'll have that live for you in sound and vision across the on imsaradio.com. Hit the live video button tomorrow and you'll get that. No blocks or breaks for that. And of course, full coverage of the race on Saturday. If you're outside the US and you don't have a network TV deal, we've got IMSA TV for you. Again, just go to imsaradio.com and hit the live video button once we get underway tomorrow. All the schedule at the bottom of the page with a little TV icon showing you which are televised sessions as well. And you'll also find on the... Oh, spin for the Pfaff Porsche. On, hits the tyre barriers. That's the Sarah Bovey barrier that she hit earlier on in the Iron Dames at Ferrari. And that was, again, bump-induced oversteer for the number nine Pfaff, the plaid Porsche. And there'll be a bit of bodywork damage on that. It was Felipe Nasr behind the wheel, just being passed by one of the prototypes, but that was not a factor there. Drives in, and the Hagerty Driveway-sponsored car... maybe took a tiny little bit too much speed in. That's easy for me to say from the comfort of an air-conditioned Hagerty Global broadcast booth. Almost got it. Lifted off the brakes as he got sideways, trying to save the tyres. So gets passed by the LMP2 car and turns in. And was it the bump? I think it was the bump. The oscillations were starting to grow on that car. He's wiped off the right-hand door mirror. And he has got the car going. I presume, Shea Adam, he'll come straight back into the pit lane from driver's left there. And the car will look a little less than pristine, which is normally how it's turned out by Pfaff.
Pfaffs are perfectionists, and this car is no longer perfect, which makes me a bit sad. But at least Felipe brought the mirror back. It was dangling, sadly. The glass was actually missing from that right-hand door mirror, but the door mirror was still intact, and the mechanics should be able to repurpose that. That probably saved him a couple of grand. But there's some scratches on the right rear bumper. And let's see, is the tire... No, I think the suspension is actually okay, so it might have just been a bit of a glancing blow. It's bodywork damage, mostly, and taking off some of the plaid covering. But the good news is the Motul and Driveway sponsorship parts of the car, well, they're still okay. It's just the plaid Canadian bits that aren't.
The pit lane is quite busy at the moment with people going back behind the wall for whom their sessions are done. So that's all of the LMP2... runners. Sorry, that's all of the GTD runners. And it's now just the pro driver classes that are allowed out on the circuit. So expect to see one or two of the DPIs going for a little bit of a time attack here, I think, even though the temperatures are probably quite a lot higher than they will be at this time qualifying time tomorrow. But fewer cars on track equals an opportunity, Jeremy Shaw, for the hot shoes in the DPI to be very hot indeed.
Yeah, and just learn a little bit more in preparation for the race on Saturday. You know, it's, as we talked about earlier on, it's going to be this evening's night practice is going to be absolutely critical to all of these teams, because those are the conditions under which the race will finish on Saturday. But the more you can learn about how the car feels in the heat of the day compared to how it feels at night time, the better off you're going to be for the 12-hour race. So there's still lots to be learned out there, and they will all be taking advantage, I'm sure, of this extra 15 minutes. We've got very few cars on the track, I think. We've only got the two of them have just left. Number 01 Cadillac, number 31 Cadillac, they've both left the pit lane, and Cadillacs have certainly been the dominant cars up towards the top of the timesheets for most of today, most of the first session, until Tom Blomqvist jumped into second place towards the end before having that engine problem that's seen that number 60 car for Meyer Shank Racing sit out this session. Don't think it's been back on the pit lane yet. They were hoping to get it out before the end of this session. Hasn't been out yet, though, with less than 10 minutes to go. But it is the other Acura, the Konica Minolta car, that sits atop the chart. As we heard a little while ago from John Hindhoff, it's Philip Albuquerque who set that time, 147.015, just less than a tenth of a second quicker than Renger van der Zander. And Ricky Taylor has just gone a bit quicker, 146.934 there now for Ricky Taylor. So under 1 minute 47.
Is that the first time we've had a sub 140?
No, it's 46.7 this 46 morning.
46.7, yes,
yeah,
that's
for
right.
Renger van der Zander.
Yeah. So quick update on the second test match for those of you here at the track or perhaps further afield. England declared on 507 for 9. Highlights of the innings, Captain Joe Root with a 153 before he was LB.
That's a spin for Ricky.
Really? What would I'm doing the cricket update? How dare he? That was his out lap then, was it?
No. He just
he
got, does, the,
top just got the top. Yeah. So fastest lap and then thinks, I can just take a little bit more speed into the hairpin.
Yeah,
that's where I'm losing out.
It was a personal best through sector one, which is basically turn one. And then here's a replay coming down into the hairpin here at turn seven. Let's see what happens. The car just starts hopping around a little bit. Wait a minute. Just a little bit too
Maybe
much speed
too much
at the
curb
apex.
On them?
No, I think just a little bit too much speed at the apex. And the car just... got away from him there.
You can't cheat the laws of physics forever, can you?
No.
Jeremy, as I was just saying, mainly for Jeremy and me, but for those of you particularly here at the track who, and there's a lot of Brits have come
True.
Over this week particularly, and a lot of the Radio Show Limited listeners collective are here, most of them down at Pratt's Resort apparently. Captain's innings literally by Joe Root, 153 before he was LBW on review. Also, good knock for Dan Lawrence. He made 91. Quick fire 120 from Ben Stokes off just 128 balls. And England then declaring on 507 for 9, putting the West Indies in for their innings. And a first test match wicket for Matt Fisher in, I think, just his first over. Kevin Campbell for four runs, and Wokes and Fisher opening the bowling for England. So 493 runs, the deficit, 9 wickets remaining, first innings of that second test in Barbados. Six and a half minutes still to go, and Chevrolet Corvette number 3 out on the circuit, learning exercise for the Chevys.
It was it was just a second over the innings, Matt Fisher.
So that was his first innings in Test cricket for the Yorkshireman.
Yeah, first ball for Campbell was a boundary of 4. Next ball out caught behind.
Very good.
Eventful couple of minutes for him.
Yeah. Couple of new ballers for England there.
The new fastest time, though. We have the Cadillacs back on top here. Mm. It's now Pipo Durrani, 146.422. That is the fastest time of the day by 4.3 of a second in the number 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac. Pipo Durrani, the defending pole sitter. Was he on the pole here last year? I think he wasn't on the pole here last year. And with the lap record that he set this time last year was 145.354. So he's still second away from that, but he's gone fastest now in this session. Alex Lynn, 0.4 of a second behind him, 146.8 into second place. So that's the number 02 car for Cadillac Racing, Chip Ganassi's team. Pushes Ricky Taylor down to third all of a sudden.
Under a dozen cars on the circuit now, so plenty of room to stretch your legs if that is what you want to do. And Shea Adam has some breaking news from down in the pit lane. Shea?
Sticker tires are going on the JDC Miller Mustang sampling Cadillac. Why is this important? 2-time Sebring pole sitter Tristan Vautier is aboard. We're about to see a really good lap.
Yeah, and I do think that what Jeremy was saying earlier on, despite the fact that qualifying is much earlier in the day than now, tomorrow, if you see what I mean, it's about finding out what the car is like on the limit and what that early grip is going to be. No tyre warmers allowed in IMSA. they are allowed in the FIA WEC tyre ovens, at least nothing of that kind, but the tyres will be left out in the sunshine as much as possible and then flung at the car. Tristan Vautier getting ready to try a little bit of time attack at the end of this second free practice session, live from Sebring, from the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Good to have your company with our VP Fuel update, giving you Pipo Durrani on the top of the time. So the 1:45.7, fastest time of the week so far. Alex Lynn just going out for Cadillac number 02 from Chip Ganassi. Ricky Taylor's out there in the third place Cadillac, the third place Acura, the number 10 car, which was on the top of the pile. Then it's Renger van der Zander in the 01 Cadillac, and then the 48 Mike Rockefeller Ally Cadillac in fifth position. Tristan Vautier is now on the circuit for GDC Miller Motorsport. GTD Pro, Andrea Caldarelli for TR3 Racing, that green Lamborghini still at the top, as I suggested he might do. Philippe Eng has got ahead of the time posted earlier by Brian Sellers. So now two GTD Pros ahead of the GTD fastest time, but that car, of course, not taking part in this last part of the session. Davide Rigon for Risi Competition up to third place in GTD Pro, and only the DPIs and the GTD Pros out on the circuit at the moment, with 2.5 minutes to go. People on the Alec Ullman back straight heading down towards sunset turn 17 on another decent lap. 1:45.7 last time around. Was quick in sector one, not so good in sector two, but let's see what he does over the rest of the lap as he comes across the line in a moment or two's time.
Renger van der Zander is personal best in sectors one and two. Mike Rockefeller, who's just gone up to second place, number 48 Ally Cadillac, he's on a better lap as well now. So the times are really tumbling down. 1:45.7 last time for Pipo Durrani.
So that was an improvement.
To bring it into the pit lane. He's got 0.3 seconds over Mike, over Rocky. 46.6 for Ricky Taylor. Renger van der Zende, he lost some time in the final sector, did Renger?
Yeah.
It wasn't an improvement for him. 1:47.5. But he lost more than half a second in that final sector. Ooh, and there's a bit of a problem there for Mike Rockefeller. The GTD Pro leading still Lamborghini Huracan, although Philippe Eng in the BMW is less than a tenth of a second behind him now. So it's that 2:08.61 set quite a while ago by Mirko Bertolotti in number 63. Lamborghini remains fastest, but it's second and third now for BMW. The Pro car, number 24 for Philippe Eng. And a non-pro car, that was Brian Sellers.
Correct.
Early on.
Davide Rigon, as we mentioned, up to third in pro for the 62 Risi Competizione car. Good to see them here. Wasn't sure we're going to see that, actually. So that was a pleasant surprise when we heard that Giuseppe Risi was bringing that car back after Daytona. Hopefully we'll see them again. Done a full season for a while. Really, really flinging it through turn one. The 02 Alex Lynn Cadillac. That's the black and dark red, the almost dried blood colour on that car, isn't it? Wonderful shade. Under the Corvette drive over bridge now, down towards the hotel and the hairpin, the right-hander at turn number 7. Change of surface, very bumpy on the braking line there. So then another change of surface, just as you want to turn in. Rides the curbs, kicks up a little wisp of dust from the left-hand side Michelin's as he charges through the Fangio curves and on towards turn 10.
And checkered flag is out on the session, so this will be the last attempt here for Alex Lynn in that car number 02. He was quicker than his previous best in sector 1.
40-year personal best, Jeremy, to the checkered flag there, 1:47.595.
Yep, and Renger van der Zander also improved to 1:46.883. That was his last lap. He's on another one now. Checkered flag for Mike Rockefeller. Did not improve on that lap, but a good one, 46.4.
Wow, yeah. Back that 46.1 up nicely. People's in the pits. Ricky Taylor's in the pits. Alex Lynn and Renger van der Zander still out on the circuit.
Alex Lynn, personal best in sector 2 as well in that 02 Cadillac.
He was pushing very, very hard indeed. Very, very hard indeed. Shouldn't have any problems with traffic. Coming to the line now, the 0-2. And improves. Goes up to third position with a 106. Check that, a 146. 288. If it was 106, he'd be miles ahead. 146, 288. So that's the top three cars, Jeremy, in that session, separated by just on half a second. And here comes Renger van der Zande.
I don't think he's going to improve. He lost a fair bit of time in the second sector. So I think he's probably called it quits. I think I would imagine he'd be coming into the pits this time.
And a little bit of a tour from one of the other cars still out there.
Yeah, it was number five car, actually. Tristan Vautier has already taken a checkered flag.
So he should be coming at the pits car.
Presumably just a flying in lap. Although we're waiting to see if he goes across the line again, doesn't come into the pits, that he'll probably earn himself a penalty for the...
Vautier's just gone through 47.595 on his run to the checkered flag, was his best lap, and van der Zande does pit, so van der Zande not improving.
So I think Tristan Vautier took the checkered flag twice, didn't he?
I think you are correct.
He was certainly shown as having, having seen the checkered, but he just improved there, 147.5. He's quicker again now in sector one, too, so he's... He's having too much fun, Tristan Vautier.
Hope he hasn't got the WEC disease then from the driver's seat. Just kept I'm going to drive around until you tell me to stop. Thank you.
And if I don't hear you, I'm still going to keep driving.
Julian Andlauer has really set a bad precedent for just driving around.
Right.
The checkered flag hasn't moved. It's still in the same place. All right, quickly, let's give you a rundown because... we need to take a breath before we come back for our countdown to green and the Alan J Automotive Network 120, and also let you, if you're here at the track, have here our track announcer colleagues give you some details of what's going on around the circuit. Pete Maturani, Whelan Engineering, 145.7. That's the fastest time of the week for the IMSA competitors for the number 31 red and white Cadillac ahead of the Ally Cadillac, the number 48, Mike Rockenfeller, in second position. 3/10, nearly 4/10 of a second. He's a 1/10.5 quicker than Alex Lynn in the 0-2, the black and red. That's the Chip Ganassi Cadillac racing car in third position. In LMP2, they've been off the track for a while, but let's remind you, it was Tower Motorsport in the orange and black number 8 who were the best of the P2s, from Scott Huffaker's PR1 Matheson Motorsport number 52. And then Dragon Speed, the number 81, in third position. And they were separated again by just half a second. In LMP3, it was Performance Tech Motorsport who had a 1/10 of a second. That's the number 38 car. That was the one that had the tricky electrical gremlin. Well, it didn't stop them taking fastest time in that session. From the 33 Sean Creech Motorsport car, just 0.062 of a second away in third. Kai von Berlo, after a couple of great wins in the... Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands, the Riley Motorsports number 74 in third. In the GT classes, GTD Pro TR3 racing with the bright green Lamborghini Huracan number 63 with the best time of 2:08. 2:09 for Philip Eng in the Team RLL BMW M4 GT3. That's the number 24 car. And Davide Rigon for the bright red Risi Competizione Ferrari in third. And in GTD, brand new to Paul Miller Racing, the BMW M4 GT3 with the best time of 2:01.3. From in second place in GTD, Daniel Junkadella for Gilbert Gotthoff Racing. That's the number 32 Mercedes. And another Ferrari, Cetilar Racing, the 47 car in third position. That's how they finished there. And good to have your company for that. We have racing to come. A little more of the WeatherTech with night practice tonight. We've got qualifying from IMSA, from WEC, excuse me, to come over on RS1 later on. But next here on RS2, we'll be getting ready for the countdown to green and for the second round of the Michelin Pilot Challenge for 2022. That will be the Alan J Automotive Network 120 coming next on IMSA Radio.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.